Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The selected lesson for our consideration this morning is that gospel lesson read only moments ago from John chapter 8, where Jesus said to all of us, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Dear Christian friends, heirs of the Lutheran Reformation, it was on October 31st, 1517, that an Augustinian monk who had been made a doctor of theology at the college in Wittenberg made his way to the castle church. A few short strokes of the hammer and it was done. 95 statements, theses, had been posted on the bulletin board of his day. Martin Luther wanted to have a debate, a discussion on multiple topics of God's holy word. He wanted to discuss things like repentance, indulgences, and even the power of the Pope and the church councils of his day. It's for that reason that October 31st has become for us ever after the celebration of the start of the Lutheran Reformation. But in truth, it all started long before then. It was probably already beginning in the heart of that young man who was studying to be a lawyer, but made that vow to become a monk if God would spare him from the lightning striking around him. It became more and more evident as Martin Luther took up that mantle of monk within the Augustinian monastery. There that we learn two important truths about the man. The first, he was extremely intelligent and extremely serious about the word of his God. And the second, his conscience was plagued by sin. Martin Luther had a conscience that was just stricken with his own failures before God. He was keenly aware of the righteousness that God demanded from him and how he failed to supply it. Luther wasn't wrong. We heard it in the words of our second lesson today, didn't we? Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Jesus puts it even more bluntly for us in our gospel lesson today when he says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." So, under the rules of the Augustinian monastery, Martin Luther did everything that he could to try to cast off that sin. He actually beat himself, whipped himself, laid on the cold stone floors of that monastery for nights on end. He wore out his confessors, running to them for every little thing that plagued him, every trivial sin he had committed. He wanted them to hear all of it. None of it seemed to work. None of it seemed to take that sin away. Luther always was cognizant of the fact he wasn't perfect as God demanded it. So you can kind of understand Why it irritated him so much when those indulgence sellers finally started coming into town. And they started telling people that money could buy them a place in heaven, especially when some of those sellers begin to say that money can buy one a place in heaven, even aside from repentance, as God has asked for it. So he puts up those 95 statements. It's time to talk. Either he has terribly missed something in the pages of Scripture, or the church has. Either those indulgence sellers have gone way too far in their abuse of the power given them, or if the church is allowing it, then they have gone too far in the abuse of the power that God has given them. Either way, it becomes time to talk about all of this. It won't be until about 2 years later that Martin Luther finally begins to understand the depth of the ruin that has come upon the visible church of his day. Many place it somewhere in 1519, that God finally pulls the veil away from his gospel and shows the glorious truth in all of its beauty to Martin Luther. Of course, it had always been there. It had been there from that first promise given back in the Garden of Eden throughout all of the time as God sent prophet after prophet to his people. Even Paul talks about it after those verses in our second lesson that we had read earlier. He tells us, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." Do you see what Luther saw there? It's not by our work. It's not by our money. In fact, it's not by our righteousness at all that salvation is reckoned to us. The righteousness that God demands, he supplies. He gives it to us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He comes to this earth and lives the perfect life that God requires of every one of us, for us, in our place. He goes to that cross that his holy, precious blood would pay for every one of our sins. That in his resurrection we might see the assurance with our own eyes that God calls us children, makes us heirs, gives us heaven itself. You see, that's the glorious truth of the gospel. That's the teaching and the truth that Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson today. And I would even dare say it's the real reason for the Lutheran Reformation. It's always around this time of year that I'll hear the question come up once again. Is the Lutheran Reformation even still relevant for us in our day and age? In other words, that was a bunch of stuff that happened over 500 years ago, and all of the monks that were involved in it, they're dead and gone. What does any of that mean for you and for me today? The question sounds a little bit like those Jews that had gathered around Jesus in our gospel lesson. "We are Abraham's descendants," they said, "and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" Both questions miss the point entirely, don't they? It's So Jesus sets it in front of us once again today. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Dear friends, brothers, sisters, are you a sinner? Of course you are. We just confessed it in song only moments ago in our services. Whether we think that the sins we have committed are relatively small or relatively large in the world around us doesn't matter. Jesus says, if we're sinners, then we're slaves to sin. And no doubt there are sins in your lives that prove that to you. Those ones that we struggle against mightily, that we really wish we could somehow avoid, and yet they keep on popping up in our lives. They prove it, don't they? Almost as if we're addicted to them. We keep coming back to them. We're slaves to them. And because we are, whether it's anger or pride, apathy, God tells us, in that state, we're not members of the family. We don't deserve to call him Father. We don't deserve to be called his children. We aren't heirs of the salvation that he wishes to give to every single one of us. The only thing we deserve is the eternal punishment, hell. Did you hear what Jesus said? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Despite of all of that, God in his love gives us Jesus Christ. It's his life, it's his death, it's his resurrection that cancels sin and makes us heirs of the Father, promises heaven to us. In all of its glory, in all of its perfection, not because of who I am or what I've done, not because of the money that I've thrown at the problem, not even because of the amount of followers I might have on social media. None of it works. Only Jesus. Only his truth. Only his teaching. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sounds to me like Jesus certainly thinks the Reformation is still relevant. It's truth. The gospel, shining brightly, is the real reason that Christians throughout the ages have been willing to stand up and face abuse that glorious message might be heard. It's why the voice of God in simple law and gospel has been ringing out there ever since the days of the Garden of Eden and beyond. It's why an Augustinian monk in 1517, was willing to stand against the powers of his day and proclaim these truths. It is the gospel that sets you free. And that, dear friends, is the real reason for the Lutheran Reformation. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, may it guard our